stocks really started the day in rotten territory. From APM in Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In the first half hour of trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down about 250 points, a drop of 1.2%, a similar percentage drop for the NASDAQ Composite Index. As this week comes to an end, a consensus had set, like cured concrete, that the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve will not raise the cost of borrowing in June anymore. But then came some inflation data today. On Fridays, we like to consult Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So I guess the markets already knew it wasn't going to be June for a long time, but the Fed, or members of the Federal Reserve, have been speaking out.
That's right. In fact, we've had sort of a nonstop parade of Fed chatter this week, and they, too, now seem to be putting some distance between themselves and a June tightening, but they are quick to remind us they still plan to raise rates this year, as long as the job market continues to be solid and inflation can reasonably be expected to rise toward 2%.
All right. I hate to throw new data into the discussion here, but we did get word that the Consumer Price Index showed the second month of inflation in a row. That's what my headline says.
Well, yeah, it was actually core inflation picked up a little bit. But overall, if you include things like gasoline and food, inflation was down a tenth on a year-on-year basis. But the Fed tends to focus on the core. So my sense is they'll see this as ammunition that certainly by September, they should be able to begin to raise rates.
Hey, Chris, before we go, we've been covering this morning Bloomberg Terminal, the screens that many financial professionals use to do their job, went dark across the world, especially in Asia and Europe. Apparently, it's back up now. Was that hurting your folks?
We managed to dodge that bullet, but it is the kind of thing that gives you shivers. We all communicate in finance with our Bloomberg Messenger, and when it goes down, it's really tough to do business.
Christopher Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yale University School of Medicine says it's weighing its next move after it failed to win accreditation for an online version of its master's program for physicians' assistants. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports on the forces behind the push toward online degrees and the challenges.
Yale's partner in all this is the education technology company 2U. 2U has plenty of other customers.
There's a lot of demand for us right now.
Chip Pausek is CEO of 2U. He says universities want to enroll students online to address shortages of workers in some fields. But online degrees also bring in more tuition dollars.
The university needs to figure out how to pay its bills and be sustainable, and just like any enterprise.
But some degrees lend themselves more to online learning than others, according to Andrew Kelly, an education scholar at the American Enterprise Institute.
Learning statistics, right, or data science online, certainly learning some of the computer science skills and knowledge.
Kelly says degrees that require hands-on training, like physicians' assistance programs, are more difficult because universities have to find hospitals where online students can train. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Among the headlines so far from the Coachella Music Festival in Southern California here, Madonna apparently made out with Drake and Justin Bieber was reportedly escorted out in a headlock. All right. Coachella is a spectacle. Hundreds of thousands of people are headed to the desert east of L.A. to catch the last weekend of this. The shows are about having a good time, about the music, but also about what people are wearing. Sam Harnett reports.
Sure, Coachella's got some big names this year. AC/DC, Jack White, and Ryan Adams. But that's not all festival-goers care about, says fashion reporter Catherine Romine.
They want to Instagram good pictures of themselves and all those selfies.
Yes, these are teens and 20-somethings, many from L.A. The marketing opportunity makes the fashion industry salivate. It sees a horde of impressionable minds with disposable incomes and social media followers, all transported to the blank desert landscape for two weekends of pop music-infused millennial partying.
Exactly, exactly. And it's become big business now.
PR firm owner Lori Riviere says fashion brands have jumped on the Coachella bandwagon. The handbag giant Coach hosts backstage performances. Cosmetics colossus Sephora brings a tent for beauty touch-ups. Need eyewear? Glasses.com is there too. Sarah Call is its director of content.
We felt it was sort of a perfect place to celebrate self-expression.
Fashion companies see dollar signs in this free spirit, Woodstockian vibe. H&M now has its own Coachella clothing line. The festival style is a hippie LA boho mishmash. Think fringe shirts, big sunglasses, and lots of skin. Jim Andrews says festivals are a great place to see and be seen.
There's lots of downtime. There's lots of walking around time.
Andrews is from sponsorship consultant IEG. He says festivals are better than, say, a sports event, where, you know, fans could get distracted by actually watching the game.
There's a lot more time for kind of quality interaction.
And everyone's cashing in. Celebrities and musicians get paid to wear certain clothing. Fashion magazines stuff their pages with glossy Coachella photos. Music critic Jim Farber says the audience doesn't seem to care. Festivals have gotten super corporate.
If they are offended by it, they generally are pretty quiet about it, or they seem to really enjoy it.
It hasn't always been this way. Farber says when he went to Lollapalooza back in 1991, there was just a bunch of bands and one guy with a falafel stand. I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And 3 months late, the much-advertised espresso maker arrived at the International Space Station this morning, along with 2 tons of groceries, experiments, and other equipment. The astronauts have been drinking EGAD's instant coffee. 2 companies based in Turin, Italy, devised the machine to squeeze out espresso shots in weightlessness. It's been tested extensively on the ground, but any astronaut will tell you, you don't know if a technology works in space until it is tested in space. In Los Angeles, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.